particularly the exploration of body and mind, and which I explored through various somatic practices. And this somatic education became, although it was just a personal exploration at the time, became the basis, the foundation for what I'm doing now. My engagement with touch in art is catalyzed by a frustration with the flat and triangle surfaces of painting and drawing. I wanted to somehow work inside the medium. So I turned to handmade papers, which allowed me to immerse my hands in the touch and feel the image of the inside out. I began to think more consciously about the sense of touch when I made a couple of books and I guaranteed with the tactile nature of books. You have to handle them, you have to touch them. So I began to think about making artwork with the touch. Could touch, I wonder, be a way of knowing? And that's the question that has occupied me for the last 16 years. And led to writing about touch and art and trying to find like-minded people such as you and scientists, engineers, psychologists who are exploring touch. At this moment in history, it's exploding. It's sort of the shadow thing, but it's finally coming into its own in terms of research and I think of design and many it's kind of percolating up there in the field. So I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know how anybody else did other than through my studies, earlier studies, but this was something different. So I turned to people who are considered experts, mainly people with visual limitations. And I worked for a year with various people, particularly one woman who had trained as an artist before she lost her sight. We went around to museums, we touched art together and separately in various conditions. And I kept track of her, took notes, and it was a real kind of joint exploration. And then when I first began to make sculptures that could be touched, I visited them and did qualitative research to understand how that worked and whether it was represented, how effective and how useful was that experience for people. And I discovered right off the start, as right from the beginning, that touch was a surprisingly compelling way to know what it was. Not just for people with visual limitations, but for everybody. So, what I mean by touch, when I first started out, I only had that one word thing to go on, and now it's a much richer understanding, of course. And for our purposes here, we will include touch, the word touch, tends to be connected to contact with the skin. So all the tactile receptors that are in the, on the surface and deep in the skin. And that comes in various varieties, as you all I'm sure know. Light touch, light moving touch, pressure, deep pressure, various kinds of receptors. Proprioception, which you all know about, there are receptors in the muscles and tendons and receptors between the cartilage, between the joints. Thermoception is temperature sensitivity, heat and cold. Pain receptors, which also come in a variety of flavors. And the last thing is damage, which is considered a sense, and that's just in the sense of orientation up and down. So, these, what we'll call somatic senses, are fundamental to being survival and well-being. Anything that's quite splendidly without the other four, but we really can't develop the somatic senses. So, with that in mind, and since it's difficult to experience that, you can't just, you can close your eyes, you can close your ears, you can not taste anything, but you can't turn off the sense of touch, except in the experience of anesthesia, which is what I'm asking you to kind of remember in your own experience. And what I'll do is, I'm going to just jot down words. So I'm asking for you to sort of think about right now, what do we know about touch by what it's not? You know, like through the experience of anesthesia, when it's, you're not conscious, and whether it's surgical anesthesia or dental and medicine or something like that.
Want us to give you some words for it?
Yeah. Remembering, remembering.
How it was.
Not how it was, but what did it tell you about what touch? I think it was, what's the opposite of that?
How does it make you feel in your tongue, back in the center? Do you have to move back?
Control.
I don't know what the next word is, that's all the pressure for muscular exertion, muscular pressure.
Feedback.
It wasn't what I was thinking, but that's another thing. But presumably, when you feel your muscles flexing, is that touching is part of the pressure?
The thing there is, how do you attach to speech without also getting the feeling of the speech, which is the softness of the speech?
When you're crunching, you have to taste the speech. But the two things are obviously associated, but the crunch of the apple is not the taste of it. And the feel of the softness of the
speech is also a little bit of coordination.
A big one. The C word.
We haven't mentioned sex, and we haven't mentioned nurturing.
the intersubjective dimension, right, Steve?
Potentially, this is great. So now let's That's what unconscious, when it's unconscious, and anesthesia. So we'll move to another level of a sense of touch, which is usually unconscious, but available to you for that. In other words, that's sort of much of the day, much of the time, where you're getting more somatic information through all our somatic senses, all the time, but it's under the level of awareness. So, let's do our little bit of open eyes. Your body, that space is your own perception. Reach it up, the side. You touch someone else's personal space, forward, and how far down does it go? And if you touch things that are in it, realize that they are in your space. And as such, your brain is mapping them as well as working your body in range of inner and outer sensitivity. I'd like you to pair up, and you're going to provide for each other a possible experience. So one person becomes the guide, and the other person closes their eyes. And the guide will choose something to provide for us. So it might be, you might take this and put it in their hands, or you might guide their hands over to it, however you want to do that. And let's pick maybe three, and then each guide do three tactile experiences for your partner, and then switch. And we'll think about this in a minute. If it, you can talk amongst yourselves, but if it's kind of, okay, so it's my turn. Well, spread out, go use the go outside. I mean, it's a wonderful thing, right? So rather than do a collective focusing, thing, I'd like to move right into the play. Normally what I do at this point is take people to notes questions, but I don't have them here. So I can make them actually. But we're not making sculptures. We are making light and making, where they'll be exploring through the meaning of play what haptics, sort of. With that in mind, there's one place to want them. There's slabs of play, so just take a slab of play. But blindfolded, and see if you know what the play is about. That's the first thing. Who is it about? What is it here? And if that's as far as you get, that's fine. But I'll give you time to go further than it if you want. Think of it as something that, that expresses some aspect. Movement, pressure, temperature, gesture, the task is not to make a summary, but to explore something. And when you're done, I
I'll make a call at some point. I'll say, okay, let's stop at this moment. And then we'll do something else. So, this is your own experience. And there's the table we've got class children who want to put the kids over here last year. So, the play is like, so it's kind of like a boat. And then when I asked him to stop,
It was more the shape itself was suggesting.
And you have affordances.
Say again?
Affordances.
Yeah. Well,
isn't it interesting here that it responds to the water resistance? And it.
It was leaning me as far as much as I was leaning it.
It pushes your hand as well, does it? Uh-huh. Yes.
When we got in there, particularly when we came back in here, what I noticed most of all was how childlike the group was. That experience of the freedom of playing with that. No longer plasticine, you know, play, but I think it's more than just cues to memory. I think we actually got back into that. And it was a lit quality in this room when we first came back in here.
We still have a couple of Indians to do that.
Yeah. And I noticed how quickly that playfulness stopped as soon as we got back into the
conceptual.
It was also looking like passion from one to another because we were blindfolded. We had to make sure that we were sitting at the same maturity because we were touching each other's hands in a way that you wouldn't do in these rooms if you were touching our hands. Or maybe passion too, you know, since you would then, you take the role of one from your hands.
There's one funny thing about that, it's just, I realized, you know, I didn't know who was on the other side of me. And I think it was because I gotten very involved with the play. I mean, I think I knew when I sat down who was on the other side of me, but I completely forgot that. I had no idea who was on the other side of me. From whom I was receiving or receiving my experience.
Yeah.
And you said, Tom, did you want to that phone? The same as when I first came to the table, of course, I was a teammate, but when I stopped, I didn't actually remember how many people were at the table.
Okay.
It was like, yeah, you know, I hear a couple of voices, but, you know, if there was someone quiet outside and they were saying it, it wouldn't have been enough. I just had all these conditions that I took before I understand how to receive the strange object, that it would be difficult for me to recognize and feel it. And this is an instant to touch alone, this instant recognition and direct recognition of the object, much quicker and simpler than I thought it would be. And to pass on my object, it was so. Chromatic or concentration, like, you know, the character. That's it, yeah. So, in a way, you get really very close when you're attached to it.
The word hasn't come up yet, but I'm going to put it up in relation to that, which applies to choices of intimate. Is that the embarrassment?
Yes.
And I just want to say a little bit more about the child part because that seems like a really big aspect of
because it's much more the type of thing that you do when you want to talk.
Yeah, you are touch, you are the arm, that's what you are.
And I even missed that on that the other day when I was talking about Eric and
really
important.
It's the first sense that they're all, and gradually, you probably know this better than I do, but that the process of seeing is linked to the process of touch. I mean, you learn how far that is by calling to it, that there's, and by reaching, and gradually you learn without having to do the physical part, and the physical part gradually becomes less and less critical to your understanding. And then on top of that comes all the cultural stuff about touch, and we get to the point where we don't want to be too much, and where touch becomes focused on the sexual and that finding a mate and all that process. So that we end up being really kind of impoverished because it becomes so channelized and so limited in that situation. So that I find that when people explore my sculptures, there's that, because that depth is a really crucial key element in the whole process, that there's a sense of freedom, there's a sense of permission, of returning to that. And it's symbiotic, I know, in a relationship with the world. So, anything else before we come? Anything else?
So one other observation. It's kind of the opposite of plasticity, which is kind of permanence. Well, that's one of them, which is that the play, once you put it down, then it's pretty well going to stay in that state. I mean, it might, in fact, if anything, it's going to become more rigid because it hardens and, you know.
And what does that say about the sense of touch or passion? I mean, are you making connection?
It's more about the play.
But there is something about a mass, an object, I mean, a thingness,
Well, when you're exploring the finished product, the sculpture, you're exploring it as something is there, is changing. So that's not something that you touch, something about particular way that clay and feels solid.
But I think you're onto something. I think there's something about coming into contact with whether it's the clay or the table, or that there's a validity.
Yeah.
What I'm getting from that is that in touch tends to be kind of a fleeting process. And what I do hear, what I'm adding to what you're saying, is that the solidity is that the touch leaves an imprint that stays. So you create form and you just stick your fingers into it.
Mm.
So you let an imprint in some way, so much power is become, it's more radical than the power of the eyes, for example, to see if it's anything. Okay, my thing is that they go over and actually touch it, So the touch is much more in regards to physical than visual.
Much more what?
Yeah. And we have to check somehow. Is it really there?
Yeah, we do.
Well, it's interesting, you actually gave an example of the active torch, of course, the tactile installation.
That's true, actually,
there is something there. It's not what it seems to be at all.
Great, thanks.
Okay, thank you.